and to everyone who might be watching live over the internet or during the catch-up service during the week. Just a few intimations, just to let you know that the photos of the mummy and baby coming up on the screen was Jen, who is in somewhere else doing Bible translation, can't remember where she is at the moment, and her new baby Hannah. So that was the photographs that were coming up earlier. A couple of other intimations. On the 13th of February, all members of Kirk Session and Congregational Board are requested to attend the trustees' meeting at 7:30 in the church centre. On the 20th of February, a week later, there is the men's group at 7 o'clock in the church centre. Ruth Ogilvy from Cyrenians will be speaking at that, and see Leslie Mackay if you haven't already to book your place. For those who distribute the magazines for Kemney Kirk News, February magazines are available to pick up today. And the new contacts for prayer requests are Nell and Leslie Mackay or Joyce and Jeff Thomas. Is there any other intimations this morning? Right. If we could have a little time of quiet, just prepare your hearts and minds for worship. You're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him. That's right, you don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road he set. You, God, prescribe the way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you've set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learn the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me alone. Let's open our praise this morning with the hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Your offering will be uplifted during this hymn.
Thank you. Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you this morning to bring our prayers of thanksgiving to you. We thank you for the area where we live, Lord God, where we are reminded of the natural beauty of creation. We give thanks for the village of Kemney and for those in it. We thank you for the amenities such as shops, medical care, and leisure facilities. We pray that we may be truly thankful for all that we have in our village. We give thanks for successful harvests and fertile land, Lord. We give thanks for the food on our tables provided by the land. We pray that you would continue to bless our crops, and we also remember and pray for those who have poor crops due to flooding and infertile land. We thank you for our church service here in your house today and for those involved in it. Father, you have given us all gifts to use in our lives. We thank you for the gifts of music and of technology and those involved in the running of these. We also thank you for those who provide refreshments and for our beadles. We ask that you may help and guide us to use our gifts to the glory of God through our service. Merciful Lord, we come before you today as sinners, knowing that we have failed you. We often fall short of your expectations of us through thoughts, actions, and words. We pray that you may guide us to be better through the guidance and strength of the Holy Spirit. We lay our offerings of money, time, and our talent before you. We pray that it may be used to glorify the name of God locally and further afield. We now join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Our theme today is Follow Me, and this next song is I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ, so we remember who it is we're following.
I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live on this life.
Good morning, boys and girls. Can I have some help this morning, please? Would you like to come forward? You coming, Finlay? You can join us in a minute if you want, if you change your mind. How are you all this morning? Are you good?
Yeah.
Glad to hear it, Joshua. Right. Now, this morning, I'm going to ask you to use your imaginations. Have you all got imaginations? Yeah? We are going to go on a journey right now. Now, so what would you... You've only got a time to pack a few things. So what are you going to pack? Any ideas? What would you take?
I would take my teddy.
Your teddy. I think that's a good idea. What would you take, Joshua?
Bobby. Bob. That's his teddy.
His teddy. What about you, Ben? What would you take?
I might take some of your toys.
Some toys? Any other ideas? What would you...
Food. I would take my teddy, my blanket, and the pillow and food.
Mm-hmm. Your clothes. That's always good. I've actually got a bag with me today. Do you want to see what I packed in my bag? I did it in a bit of a hurry this morning, so. Ooh, let's see what I've got in my bag. Well. Well, I brought my teddy. And I brought a change of clothes. I thought that would be a good idea. Joshua's not here, so it's a different American football team. Some tissues. Oh, I never have tissues when I need them. A book to read. Some deodorant. Always a good idea as well. Especially if you're going to be with other people for a while. And I also put in one very special thing, which is a pair of earrings, which I got given for my birthday a couple of years ago. And they're quite special to me. Yep. So we're going to put all our stuff, all the stuff in the bag, and we're going to get ready to go on this journey. Does anybody know about a story in the Bible where people were told to get ready to go on a journey really, really, really quickly, and they had to go now, and they didn't even have time to wait for their bread to rise? Does anyone know which story that is?
Yeah.
Which one then? Anybody else know? Yes, Lucy. Who was in it? Not that one. That is a journey, you're absolutely right, but it wasn't that one I was thinking of. Bit earlier. They're trying to leave a country. The man called Moses. Take everyone from Egypt, that's right. So this morning, you're going to use your imaginations and you're going to pretend that we are all the Israelites leaving Egypt and we need to go now. So come on, let's go. You using your imaginations? It's all right, we're not going far, Joshua, it's fine. Oh no, the Egyptians are behind us. Come on, we better walk a bit faster. Come a bit faster. Come on, we've got to get away from them. Right. What's in front of us? Help, we've just had to stop because there's a great big... Do you know what they came to?
Sea,
that's right. I didn't primer. We came to this great big sea. Does anyone know what God managed to... Did anyone bring a boat with them, first of all? No. Scuba gear, swimming costume. No, can we see? Do you know what did you bring?
I didn't bring anything.
You didn't bring anything. Okay, well that's a bit of a problem, isn't it?
I'm a fish.
You think you're a fish? Well, being a fish would be useful. That would be useful, Joshua. But it's a great, great, great big sea, and we can't see the other side of it. Does anybody know? Do you know? Do you know what God did? Your brother's a fish.
No.
Does anybody know what God did when they came to this sea? He made a path, didn't he? So he got Moses to put his arm up, put a staff up really high,
so we can cross. So we're okay, we can cross over. So we're going to cross over this sea now. Right. And we get to the other side and the waters close over and the Egyptians can't get to us anymore. Yay! Right, we're going to keep walking. Does anyone know which way we're going? Any ideas?
No.
No idea? We'll go back that way. Do you know how God told Moses which way to go? He put a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. So then they knew which way to go. And then there came a point where everyone started going, I'm hungry, because I wasn't very bright. I didn't put any food in mine. You brought food, didn't you? I think you've eaten it by now. Have you eaten your food as well? Yeah, I haven't got any food. So what happened? Does anyone know what God did? Not bread out of rocks, but he made sure that there was bread for people to pick up every morning. Do you know what that bread was called? It was a very special sort of bread.
Manna.
It was called manna. Okay, so he fed them. So we've now got food, so we can sit down. We'll have a seat and have a bit of a rest for a minute. There we go. You're going to come and sit here, Joshua? There we go. Right. So when the Israelites were in danger, God saved them. When they were lost, he showed them which way to go. And when they were hungry, he fed them. And God, do you know God does this for us too? We're on a journey and he's called everybody here from the very, very youngest to the oldest and to follow him. But he will also walk alongside us to protect us, show us the way, and feed us so that we can live our lives the way he wants us to. So we say a prayer together. Put your hands together, eyes closed. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for calling us to follow you. Thank you that you walk alongside us and help us through that journey. And thank you for being our friend. Amen. So we're going to sing two songs now. The first one is about God leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And the second one is about stepping out in faith, trusting that God will be beside us in the journey called life. And I'm going to need you guys to help me with the songs, because the first one has got some actions. So what I'm going to need you to do, What I'm going to need you to do is I'm going to need you to stand in a line. It's a bit difficult to demonstrate at the moment. Right, and I want you all to turn and face to you. Do you know which way is your left? Other way. Other left, Ben. That way. Right, so you're going to stand and you're going to face like that. You've got to come up here. There we go. Right, and then you're going to walk this way. And the words go, he didn't lead us out this far to take us back again. He led us out to take us into the promised land. All right? And then, though there be giants in the land, we will not be afraid. He led us out to take us into the promised land. Yeah? All right, so we're going to have a go at that.
Thank you. First reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 30, and will be found on page 987 of the Church Bible. The rich young man. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, so the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Egypt, of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." The second reading this morning is taken from John 21, verses 15 to 23. They're found on page 1090. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of God, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" May God bless this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Ishbel. We now sing "Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me." Let us pray. May each heart and mind be open to your word this morning. Let my words be your words, and our thoughts be your thoughts. Amen. Follow me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What is the cost, and what are the rewards? What's the point? When we feel God working in our lives, calling us to follow him, it can result in being mocked, as Noah was. After all, who would build a boat in the desert? It can result in being called to leave all that is familiar around us, as Abraham did. He left his people, his country, his father's household, all that was familiar to him, and followed a different path. It can leave you open to hardships. Moses did what God commanded him to, and things got harder for the Israelites. First of all, their workload was increased, and then when they did eventually leave Egypt, they faced starvation in the desert. So, Why would anyone leave all that is safe and comfortable to follow Jesus? Yes, Noah was mocked, but he knew for sure that it was God who had spoken to him. He could see the wickedness around him, and he knew that God wouldn't tolerate it for much longer. He listened, he responded, and he followed God's commands. As a result, he and his family lived. Abraham was old and childless. Leaving all that was familiar to him was risky. He was laying himself open to being vulnerable. But he listened, he responded, and he followed God's commands. Because of this, he became a father to a nation. Moses was uncertain, scared to return to Egypt because he had committed murder. He lacked self-confidence and self-worth. He knew that what was happening to his countrymen in Egypt was wrong, but didn't believe that he was well enough equipped to do anything about it. He listened, he responded, and he followed where God led. Because of this, he freed a nation from slavery and guided them to a new land of their own. I could spend the rest of the morning detailing characters in the Old Testament who suffered because they followed God, whose lives became uncomfortable and uncertain as God challenged them to step out in faith. The common theme running through all of this is that God did not just call people to follow him and then run on ahead, expecting them to follow. He walked alongside them. He checked in on them, made sure that they had the resources they needed. When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, they faced starvation in the desert. There was nothing for them to eat, and according to Exodus, there were 600,000 men, plus women and children. The desert is not known for having abundant food sources. The people were scared, but God provided. The food was basic, but it was there, and it nourished their bodies. God has always called people, and sometimes the most unlikely people. He called a young girl to face shame and disgrace by becoming pregnant before she was married. And he called a young man to shield her and trust a far-fetched story and to take on the responsibilities of being a father to a child who was not his son. They listened, they responded, and they followed, and had the enviable role of being the earthly parents of Jesus. Jesus himself called unlikely people to follow him. He called fishermen and tax collectors. He called a Pharisee. Jesus was not looking at popularity or their bank balance. He didn't care whether they were in the cool crowd. He cared what was in their hearts. He cared for the qualities which others could not see. When Jesus called Peter, Andrew, Thomas, Bartholomew, and the others, did he approach them with a job description, including a benefits and pension plan? No, he simply said, "Follow me." And the amazing thing is that the fishermen laid down their nets and they followed him. They walked away from a secure income, from friends, colleagues, and family members, and stepped out with a little known teacher to tramp around the countryside with no promise of food or lodgings. Can you imagine the response of Peter's wife when he went home with that story? "You did what? Why? How are we going to live? Really?" We know very little about their personal lives, apart from the fact that Peter had a mother-in-law, so presumably was married. We don't know if he or any of the other disciples had children, or, beyond brief job descriptions, what they did before they took a step of faith. And we can only imagine the response of families and friends. In some ways, this makes it easier to imagine ourselves into their situations. What would we do if Jesus walked up to us and said, "Follow me"? Would we go? Walk away from the good job and nice car? Go into unfamiliar, maybe even dangerous situations? Would you go? The unnamed rich young man in Matthew 19 saw much that was desirable in Jesus' message and obviously wanted to know more, to walk closer with Jesus, to follow him. He was a good person. He knew his Torah. He kept the commandments. He was righteous and worthy, but he loved his money and his possessions more than he loved God. The earthly things were too important, and he wasn't prepared to turn his back on them for something less tangible. When he heard the call, "Follow me," he turned and walked away. He was sad because he had maybe had a glimpse of what it was that he had turned down, but he still could not bring himself to let go of the here and now so that he could reach for an eternal future with Jesus. I've recently been rereading Pilgrim's Progress, not the full version, the kids' version that I showed earlier, by John Bunyan. What struck me most this time was that the cross is so near the beginning of the story. Christian has a journey to travel to get to the cross, and it isn't easy. He falls into the slough of despond. His travelling companion turns back. But he meets others like help, goodwill, and interpreter, and they point him in the right direction and encourage him. Then he reaches the cross and his burden falls from his shoulder. He's filled with joy. But then the journey to the heavenly city begins. Almost immediately he encounters the hill of difficulty. His journey is then peppered with troubles, lions and dragons, Vanity Fair, Doubting Castle. But it is also filled with companions to walk alongside him and encourage him on his way. There is Hopeful and Faithful, Charity and Knowledge, as well as many others. Each of them share a part of his journey with him. This sounds like our journey with Christ. We may have responded to the call to follow Jesus. We may have left all that was familiar. We may have turned from a worldly focus, but we are still at the beginning of the path. The road is not a simple one. For some it will be a long road, for others very short. Some of the dangers may even make us want to turn away. We may be tempted by an easier looking route or seduced by flattery. Responding to the call of "follow me" does not promise an easy life. For the fishermen, tradesmen, tax collectors and others who first followed Christ, it would have been easier to stay in their safe jobs. They would probably have been assured security for life. For Jesus' early disciples, continuing on that journey was not an easy choice either. As Jesus continued to challenge the preconceptions of those around him, was ultimately arrested, the honey period was over. Peter himself denied the friendship of Jesus, not once but three times. He thought that he was secure in his faith, that nothing could ever tempt him to turn his back on Christ. Yet when he felt that he might be in danger, he refuted all knowledge of him. In John 21, we find Jesus calling him out on that lack of faith. Peter denied Jesus three times, and three times Jesus asked him if he loved him. After each question, Jesus gives Peter a task. "Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." The love comes first. Love Jesus and do as he commands because you love him. Jesus then tells Peter where his love will take him. He shows him that the path is not easy and will end in painful and humiliating death. He's saying, "Peter, if you don't love me enough, then now is the time to get out. I cannot promise you an easy ride. I cannot promise you a safe journey. Are you up for what truly following me will cost you?" Peter then responds in true Peter style. "Yes, I can do that. But what about him? What will John's journey look like? What is your relationship with him?" And Jesus tells him to mind his own business. It shouldn't matter to Peter what John's story is, because that is John's story and bears no relationship to Peter's story. Peter has his hands full with his own path. He shouldn't be worrying about everyone else's. We don't have to look far to find evidence of lives given over to Christ in dramatic ways, of sacrifices made and great deeds done. Mary Slessor, who gave up her own dreams of home and family to work for Jesus in Nigeria. Corrie ten Boom and her family, who followed Christ all the way to the concentration camps, as well as many others. Not everyone is called to make this kind of sacrifice, but we are asked to examine our own lives and search for what it is that is holding us back from accepting the call to follow Jesus. Are we like the rich young man in Matthew who loved his possessions more than he loved Jesus? Do we make excuses about our health, our intellect, our confidence? Do we fear the journey ahead? Do we trust that when God calls us, he will journey alongside us? When God used Moses to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, He didn't abandon them in the desert. He gave them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, so that they knew where they were going. When they were hungry, he fed them. When they faced enemies, he showed them how to defeat them. When they needed a leader, he raised one up. We are never called to journey alone. Although Christian faith involves a community where we can be nourished and sustained, where we can support and encourage one another, we should never mistake this for needing to know about another's relationship with Jesus. We should not measure our life and faith, either positively or negatively, against the life and faith of another. God created each of us as individuals, each in his image, but each different. And in this uniqueness, he created a unique relationship. My journey is different from your journey and different from your journey. I may not understand how you relate to God, and I may find your way of worship different, but that's okay, because we are created different, and God will find a way to have a relationship with each one of us within that difference. Although we may travel together as companions on life's journey for a short time, we each have to respond in our own way to the call to follow me. I cannot rely on my friend or my parents' call, because that is their call and their relationship. The call to follow is unique and personal to each individual. Do you feel God calling you to a purpose today? And are you afraid that you aren't up to the job? Don't be. When God calls us, he also equips us, walks alongside us, even carries us when we cannot manage ourselves. He provides us with wisdom in the form of the Bible. He provides us with companions in the congregation, in the church we worship in, and he provides us with encouragement. Our role is to respond to the call to follow me with a simple yes, Lord, where would you have me go? Jesus calls us where we are in life, in our busyness and in our chaos. We sing together now, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult.
Let's join together in our prayers for the world. Dear Father, we give you thanks for the world you created and for the people in it. You made us in your image. You gave us commandments how to live so that we would truly enjoy our own lives, enhance each other's lives, and reflect your glory. As we heard from the reading from John, you commanded us also to feed and take care of your sheep, each other. We give you thanks for those who work with aid agencies to physically feed your people. There is plenty of food in the world to go around if we were to share it properly. We pray that we move closer to the time that this will happen. We thank you for the people who spend their time, their lives, their energy feeding people with your word. We bring them all before you for your blessing, both on them and on their work. We remember especially our mission partners, David and Rebecca Morton. We give thanks that the work permit issue, which has caused them so much anxiety, is resolving at last. We pray that their financial situation, also causing much distress, will also be resolved to enable their work to continue. We give thanks for the work that David and Rebecca do, ministering physically in the hospital and bringing your word and your love to those they encounter. We pray for Jen and Richard Margetts in the work they are doing in Africa, working to translate your word into local languages and using different ways of spreading that word so it is accessible to more and more people, enabling them to know and subsequently to follow you. We thank you for all the teams working with the four people that we know. They all have different stories and different backgrounds, but all of these people are working for you, Lord. We bring to you those Christians around the world who are worshipping in secret or in fear. The Open Doors report in the recent Kirk News has details of areas suffering persecution. These areas are many and the numbers of people vast. Each of those statistics is a person trying to follow you. We pray for their safety, for encouragement, and eventually for freedom. We give you thanks for the areas where the situation is improving and pray the improvement will continue and indeed spread. We bring before you, Lord, those we know who are ill in body and in mind, and we pray for healing for them. We pray for those who have been bereaved, that they will know your peace and your comfort. We pray especially for the family of Robbie Thompson, who died very recently. We give you thanks for Fiona leading us in our worship today, and we pray for Joshua and Heather as they enjoy their holiday. We ask your blessing on us all as we all do our best to follow you, Lord, this week and onwards. We bring our prayers, as always, in the name of your Son, our Saviour. Amen.
We close. There are 10,000 reasons to say yes to when Jesus calls us to follow him. So we finish our service, close our service today with 10,000 reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. When the evening comes.
As we leave here this morning, may each of us respond to your call to follow me, knowing that you will equip and sustain us through the journey. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.